Okay, we're going to start in 1 minute. So this is a 1 minute warning. All right, if everyone could sit down, we could get the meeting started, please. Yeah, if we could get the recording started for the first session. And if someone could let me know when the recording started.
Recording has started.
Thank you very much. This is Jeff Newman. Wolf and I are taking over as chair for the beginning part of this meeting. Stefan will join us later on today. So welcome everyone to the weekend session. This is the Saturday session. One thing I just wanted to start out with before we get to the first item of the SCI report is many of you will know that the schedule has changed around a number of times. This meeting has particularly been challenging, more so than past ones, in trying to get every single subject in, but also liaising with the other groups and trying to get everyone onto our schedule. The GAC has a lot of work before it, and so trying to get time with the GAC, trying to get time with the ICANN board, trying to get time with the new ICANN CEO has been kind of a logistical challenge. So I hope we've gotten that all figured out. The most recent schedule is on the wiki as well as referred to from the GNSO website, from the ICANN website, the schedule going to the GNSO working session. So if you click on that, you'll eventually get to the schedule. And what we've tried to do, because we've moved the meeting with the GAC, this wasn't our first choice, but we've moved the meeting with the GAC until to this afternoon instead of normally on Sunday. And because of that, what we tried to do with the schedule is make sure that we are covering all of the topics, at least internally with our group, before we go into the GAC this afternoon. So a lot of things were moved around. We're going to start with the SCI report, the Standing Committee on Improvements. We'll go to consumer metrics. Then we'll have a break, go to talk about the new PDP or the preliminary issue report on the IGO protections, along with update from the IOC Red Cross drafting team. Then we're going to break for lunch. It's very important. Lunch is actually not in this room. Lunch is going to be in the atrium. We only have an hour, so we're going to use that for a real lunch, but strongly urge that everybody come back on time. And then this afternoon, we'll talk about the REA negotiations and the PDP that's associated with that, some motions and some prep for the ICANN board meeting and the GAC meeting, and followed by this afternoon at 4:30 talking to the GAC with a joint session. So I don't know if there's any questions on the schedule. I apologize with how many times it's changed. We really tried hard to get everything in. All right, with that said, I'm going to turn it over to Wolf to start us with the SCI report and take it away.
Thank you, Jeff. Good morning. Altogether, my name is Wolf Ulrich Knoben. I'm the chair of the Standing Committee on Improvements Implementation. And for those of you who are not very much familiar with what that committee is about, that committee has been established by the Council after the improvements, the GNSO improvements, have been implemented to monitor and to discuss items which about the improvements which come up from the Council or any group which may be affected by those implementations, and to discuss those and come back to the Council with some recommendations, ideas, how to deal with those issues. So just a short report on where we are, what we are dealing with. We have an agenda, a very colorful agenda with regards to the more or less the rules of operations and what they are dealing with, and with regards to also the PDP, the new PDP amendments and those things. But we are dealing also with other things. At first, we have an item here, a deferral of motions, which is with regards to the voting and the motions which are dealt with at council level. And then we have proxy voting procedure, also which has to do with voting. And consent agenda is an administrative item, so we should deal with that. And then the voting result table. So you see we have a lot of things with regards to the regulations, the rules about votings, which the how the council is dealing with votings here. Next slide, please. At first, the deferral of motions is an item which came, let me say, heavily up in the with regards to the issue we had with the IOC Red Cross issue. And normally, on council level, we have an unwritten rule here. If a constituency or a stakeholder group is of the opinion that a motion which is on the table here to be voted on, they would like to defer that of any reason. So they can raise this and then tell us, and there is an unwritten rule, well, to defer that motion for once. So the question was here, in urgent cases, so if there is a real interest, well, to deal with that motion, is there any way, should this kind of dealing with motion, the deferral of motion, should that be formalized? So that was the question to the SCI, and under which conditions should it be formalized? So at first, well, we were checking, well, what happened since the implementation of the of all the improvement, so that means since more than 2 years. There we have, you can see the statistics, we have 22 deferrals, which have been asked for defer two times and one even for three times. And it's spread over the different stakeholder groups here. So it's not mainly used by any stakeholder group, so it's more or less spread over all the stakeholder groups asking for that. In our discussion, so when we discussed that, it was one of the important things was, okay, how could we find times? Because one of the most reasons why a deferral is requested is that a stakeholder group or constituency says, okay, we didn't have enough time, well, to socialize the motion within our group and to discuss that and then come up with, say, firm idea about that, so we need more time. So socializing is crucial for that. So how we could deal with that. So in checking this, we saw, okay, we have the rule that motions should be brought up to the council 8 days before the council meeting. So if you look to the rules, so we are using that 8 calendar days. In the rules itself, it says 8 business days. So it is not as easy well to handle business days in that environment, because everybody has different holidays in her or his country. So one of the questions could be, okay, could we extend that period in terms of calendar days, for example? So just we are using 8 calendar days, so and that might be a problem for some of us. On the other hand, we discussed and we had also a common opinion on that with regards to the NCAs. NCAs should also be able, this is not very clear fixed in the rules, NCAs should be able to defer motions as well. And this is another point. We have then discussed mostly, should we come up with an idea, could we come up relative to formalize that process, to come up with. So there were pros and cons, and we couldn't find a consensus in the SCI. So it is, I have to say, so we are still discussing that, so and maybe we could also get some input here from the council to that. So it's not a decision, well, in case, if it is decided, if there is really a wish about to formalize it, okay, we could come up then with a procedure also. That must be altogether. So since we couldn't find consensus on that, so we are discussing, should we poll on that in the group in the SCI? But that means so we should prepare at first the right question, as you know, what should be asked the members of the SCI, how should they be asked with regard to that? So that means, should we just ask, okay, would you like to have it formalized or not, or would you like to have it formalized under certain conditions, and then outline the different alternatives of those conditions? So okay, this point there is not a consensus. We could bring it back to the council as well. So this is the status of that point. The next point, please. Proxy voting procedure. The rule is we have a proxy giver in us in the council, and the way is, so he has to file his proxy or his request for proxy to his organization and then to the secretariat, and then it's going to the council, and it should be sent before the relevant council meeting. And the issue is, okay, do we have a kind of shortcut of that way? So in order to make it possible that on during a council meeting also could be, or on a really short term, could be the proxy could be filed. The reason is, well, okay, what we all want to avoid is that any vote is going to be lost here during votings. Also, no consensus not yet about that, but there is a suggestion which we have to agree upon. We will have a meeting tomorrow to talk about that. And that means, okay, it could help if in parallel we shouldn't go only this way, as I outlined at first, but in parallel we should, an email notification should be sent out both to the secretariat and to the council to inform both. So that means to help, you know, to to earlier inform the council for that. So we will talk about that tomorrow. The next point, please. Consent agenda. We have since several times a consent agenda on our in our council meeting agenda, And the question is how to formalize that. We haven't, just make it brief, we have a consensus on that. So we have a suggestion. I would like, well, to send that text to the council. And so the suggestion is, well, to amend the GNSO operating procedures in the relevant parts with regards to that. The major items is here written down. So that means we have excluded some items, items being not subject to a simple majority vote, and items subject to absentee voting shouldn't be included in the consent agenda. And then we have a procedure suggested how to deal with the consent agenda. So that's the major items. Next point, please. The voting results table, which is an annex to the GNSO operating procedures. There was a need, well, to check whether it's still up to date because the PDP was, the new PDP was implemented since the voting procedure was published. So we have also checked that, and we made it consistent with the bylaws and the rules of procedure. And we have also a suggestion how it seems, it looks like, so there is no problem with that. So we will send it to the council as well, this list. Next one. The one which we did not finally, not yet finally deal with is the question on voting results for delaying a PDP. And this is a current threshold for the terminating and initiation of PDP are in the in this annex to the GSO operating procedure as I outlined. And there is, we have a, the council may terminate a PDP only for a significant cause with GNSO supermajority vote in favor of termination. So that's the process as it is at the time being. And the initiation of a PDP is more than one third of each house or more than two thirds of one house. And there is a recommendation by staff, well, to amend that. I think it's the first part, isn't it, Marika? Well, if there are questions, well, you can detail that. But we have not yet gained consensus on that. I think it's also, isn't that in the same direction like if the second part, that means go for termination of the PDP like it is handled in the second part here to initiate it. I'm not clear of that right now.
This is the staff proposal is to use the same threshold as for terminating.
Yes, the same.
Yes, that's the first one.
Okay, that's the same one. Okay, so next point, please. So, okay, this is our agenda at the time being. So we have on the agenda on hold another item is, you know, we would like to survey the working groups. They have been established since the implementation of the improvements. Well, to also to have a reflection on that, how the new rules for the working groups are operated, and if there are problems, you know, we could deal with that. Now, not to overcomplicate right now the process. So the SCI understanding is right now we have finished some points as I outlined on the table of voting plus the consensus. So we would like to give that back to the council, and well, it is now up to the council to deal with that. So the question is then only for the council or how to deal with those items. It was a discussion, and well, it's still here on the slide, but it should not be overcomplicated. The items, it's not our intention, well, to initiate that those items should be put out for public comment again, so if not really necessary. So for us, it seems to be these are items more or less regarding our rules internally, and if the council could agree to those items as well. So the question is then, why should we post it to public comments? But okay, it's just an item here, so the council should discuss that, and then we can see. The last point is we have been approached by individuals also, to deal with items. Our rules say that we only accept or we should deal with items which are brought up by the council itself or groups chartered by the council. So we are discussing that point, how to handle that. Is it, should we stick to the rules as it is here, or should we be handled in a flexible way, whatever that means? So it's still in discussion. I think that's it at the time being for Ring. Thank you for your attention, and I'm happy to accept questions.
Thanks, Wolf. And this is Jeff Newman. Just before anyone speaks, if you could say your name for the transcript purposes. And I just want to remind everyone, the way we work this session is that everyone's invited, including people in the audience, to make comments. If we're running out of time, usually preference is given to council members. But we generally tend to invite comments from everyone. So I don't know if anyone's got any questions. One question that I have, and I'll get it kicked off, is you had said, you had made a statement saying, asking whether it should go out for comment again, but have your recommendations gone out for comment?
No, not yet. So we have, have these two items finished, but just finished, some days ago. So it is not out for any comment on that. Not yet. Marika would like to.
This is Marika. I think this is partly as well a more general question, as there's no formal procedure established at the moment, and this is not a PDP working group that has certain requirements on public comment. I think it's also a more general question to the council as the SEI develops recommendations on these issues, assuming that it's recommendations for making changes to either operating procedures or practices. How should it be handled? Is it, does the council expect the SEI to put those out for comment, provide a report on the comments and then provide its recommendations? Does the council expect the SEI to make its recommendations, submit those to the council, and the council will then put those out and review those comments to try and see what is the expectation to make sure that we can set up some kind of process and follow that going forward? I think that's a bit more the general question around this this issue as well.
Okay, I have Jay Scott. Anyone else? Okay, I have Thomas and then John. Oh, and Alan.
This is J. Scott Evans. I don't think this is completely unprecedented. I mean, when we did the work through with the working group guidelines and the other groups that worked on the board suggestions with regard to restructuring, we had a process for dealing with that, and I think we could follow something similar. And also, I think we should err on the side of public comment because of the transparency issues that everyone has had with this organization. I think the more that we can get it out there and get comments from people who don't participate would be to the benefit of the council and to the stakeholders.
Okay, thanks, Jay Scott. And then I have Thomas.
Yeah, I'm Thomas Rickert. I'm the NCA, or one of the NCAs to the GNSO Council, and it is with great pleasure that I heard that you're considering to entitle NCAs to ask for deferrals as well, so that's much appreciated. But at the same time, with respect to the question of deferral, I think this is closely related to the discussion that we're going to have at the end of the session on workload for councillors. Because what I think might be useful considering is not only to have a pending projects list, but also to flesh out this list in terms of timing. How many projects do we work on in parallel, and how long are these going how much time are these going to take in an ideal world? I do remember well that our next but one, I must say, CEO, said yesterday that he is a defender of the multi-stakeholder approach and its speed. But at the same time, he also said that he would make sure that I can work as fast as possible. And I think streamlining also the practice with deferrals or reducing the need for deferrals would be a useful thing to do in order to keep processes as expedient as possible. And therefore, we might wish to consider to actually have a projects list also where we fit this in, and then maybe the need for deferrals is lower.
Okay, thanks, Thomas. I have John Berard, Alan Zahid, and then Wendy.
So if we accept Jay Scott's point, which I think is well made about erring on the side of public comment, then does that not answer the second question on that particular slide? I'm not looking for an answer, but it strikes me that it does answer that question. The point that I would like to dive into relates to the deferral of motions. Is there any qualitative or character distinction between the 5 motions that were deferred and the 17 that weren't? Is there any insight we can draw from that?
Well, the to qualify, you mean between the ones who have been deferred and the others? So that's I'm not aware of that. To qualify, we have qualified the motions which have been deferred in terms of administrative ones, policy related ones, and other ones. I'm looking to Marika also. Do you know the others? You know how that spread is about. So the quality of motions, that means PDP motions or policy motions or whatever.
Sorry, could you just repeat the question, because I was checking something?
No, the question, you know, we have in the statistics, so we have the number of motions qualified by such of administrative character, policy character, and others, the deferred motions. Do we have the same with the other motions which have not been deferred in that time period?
I think you're asking it more broadly than I intended. So there are 22 motions that have been deferred.
Yeah.
5 of them have been deferred more than once. So is there a character difference between the 5 that have been deferred more than once and the 17 deferred only once?
Okay, this one.
This is Rick. I would have to look back at which motions those were to be able to comment on that, because I don't know by heart which ones those are. Apologies.
I can check, so it's not a problem, and I can send it to the list as well.
Okay, I have. Ricky, you want to comment on that, or just add to the queue? Okay, so I have Alan.
Thank you. A couple of quick comments regarding who can defer motions in NCAs. The PDP working group had extensive discussions on that, and we ended up making a recommendation, which the board has now approved, that all councillors can request deferral. I or Jeff or someone would be happy to brief you on or summarize our thought processes as they evolved, if it will be of any use. In terms of public comment, I thought the question asked there is, should you go out for public comment to try to resolve the unresolved issues? And my personal feeling is I think you should go back to council, to the wider group of councillors, as a first step. I think the whole set of changes should go out for public comment before approval. But the fact that your working team cannot come, or design team cannot come up with the answers, I think you should go to the wider GNSO community before public comment at this point. We have enough public comments not to add one at this nitty-gritty level in my mind. And lastly, the question of canceling a PDP, can you go over again? Because I ended up being confused by Marika's last answer, and I wasn't sure what it was. It requires essentially a third majority to start it. What are you suggesting to cancel? Another third, or to keep the supermajority?
So just to clarify, we're not talking about cancel. I think we're talking about deferring.
I thought the word was terminate, actually, on the slide.
Well, that's already been developed. The termination one is in the PDP process that we approved.
Okay.
Right? But now we're talking about the one issue that came up a couple of meetings ago when we deferred, I think it was with Thick Who Is, when we were talking about deferring So we had accepted the fact that we wanted to initiate the PDP, but now the question was, can we defer it a few months or however long?
So okay, sorry, I came in just as that was being discussed. I missed that. Thank you. I have no problem with that.
Okay. I have Zahid, Wendy, Chris, and Marika.
Thank you.
I'm going to close it after I saw Bill has his hand up.
Okay. Thanks. I think it's a good idea to make this process with regard to deferral formal. What I'm reminded of is an incident that took place where there was a deferral which became really contentious. And one of the aspects of that deferral was that although there was a request for deferral, and usually that is because you haven't had time, and the unofficial rule was you haven't had time to confer with your own group, but this deferral was a deferral with a add-on saying, we don't agree with this resolution, we have problems with this resolution, not saying we haven't had time to consider it, which is quite the opposite. I'm wondering whether in the group you guys had time to think about, if somebody gives a reason for a deferral, does that disqualify the deferral? I mean, is there a criteria to it or not? So that's one of the thoughts that I would sort of put forward. A deferral should be for what it was previously in the informal process because you just didn't have time. So if you make a statement while you're deferring it, it kind of sort of takes away from the whole purpose of it. And I think maybe you guys want to think about, you know, whether that goes into the rules. The other thing is I think it's the 8 days that you've mentioned, I think that's a bit onerous. Maybe it should be shorter. Maybe it should be on the go, I'll tell you. I mean, as from experience when you're as a counselor, there are times when you hear the discussion on resolution and you think, that's fine. I think we can go forward with this. I don't need to stop the process. But if you've already gone ahead and requested a deferral in advance, there's no way that that's going to happen. So that's less of a deferral, more of take it off the agenda. So I would sort of try to distinguish those two and say give the counselors the opportunity that if they do want to go ahead and not defer, there should be a mechanism to do that. The last question was actually on the PDP delay, which I thought was helpful. But when I heard that that staff had wanted to change the thresholds for initiating a PDP, is that right? Okay, I misunderstood that. All right, thank you.
Okay, thanks, Zahid. And the SCI group, are you guys meeting tomorrow? Is that right? Or
yeah.
Okay, good. So then you have a lot of topics you can address tomorrow. Okay, I have Wendy and then Chris, Marika, and Bill.
Thanks, Wendy Seltzer. With regard to deferrals, I think we should abolish them. I don't think we are any longer a collegial body that's capable of accepting the requests to defer on someone's statement that they simply want more time to consider it. And if we were forced to go into all of the reasons that people wanted to defer, I think why not just either make this into a formal process that has voting thresholds to override the deferral and move things forward or abolish it. But we're not doing well with this with this informal process we have.
Yeah, Wolf, if you want to respond?
Just a brief comment. Well, this reflects the discussion we have in the group, you know. This is both standpoints, and that's why we have no consensus on that. Well, really, I would like to invite you, by the way, to participate in the meeting, also early morning at 8 o'clock in the SCI meeting, but it's public.
Thanks. I'm Chris.
Good morning. Yes, Chris Chaplow, Vice Chair, Finance and Operations from the Business Constituency. Notwithstanding that I'm not familiar with the charter of the group, the GNSO improvements was quite broad, and it was for improvements of the whole of the GNSO. And what I've seen so far seems to be very narrow to do with council procedures and operations. So I was just wondering, are you taking on board things like the upgrade of the website, the new website, and all the other organisational things, communications and coordination work group in its own report asked for a review at 12 months. So there's a lot of other things there. Thanks.
May I immediately answer? So we are dealing with all items coming or derived from or coming from the implementation of the improvements recommendations. That includes the these kind of things you are dealing with, because we had a group also, I think it was chaired by Mason, regarding the the public, how to deal with that, so in the website and all these things. So if there is some issue coming up, but you have to bring it up, you know, and you have to come to us through the council or through your constituency or whatever group we are talking about that, but then we are going to deal with that.
Okay. So the role of the SCI group is really to address those issues that are left over. So I think that's a good point. I have Marika and Bill and Yoav. If you want to be added, okay. Then I'm really cutting off the queue because we have to get to the next subject. So Chris just went. Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. I think just on that last point, part of the SCI remit is as well, and something they're looking at is indeed a standing review of the different recommendations that have been adopted over a certain period of time. And I think it's something they'll be looking at, as most of the recommendations have only just been adopted or haven't been in force for too long. So they're dealing now more with indeed ad hoc issues that have been identified as posing problems or not being addressed. So just maybe to clarify on the, because I see that has caused some confusion, the voting thresholds, that specifically relates to possible voting thresholds for suspending or delaying a PDP after it has been initiated, something that happened with the Thick Who Is PDP. There are no formal rules currently in the PDP, and at that point we were struggling a bit with the question of which voting thresholds should apply. Should it be the same ones as for initiating, but it opens the potential for gaming because you have a low threshold, so the people opposing the PDP could immediately vote to delay it or suspend it, or do you apply a supermajority rule? So really, if there's broad consensus within the council that there should be a delay for various reasons, what happened with Thick Whiz, which I think was unanimous vote, you might want to apply that voting threshold. So that's what's being looked at. It's not about changing the current voting thresholds that are already there. And just on the last point on the public comments, I think to Alan's point, basically I think the question from the SCI is more like, should the SCI go out for public comment on recommendations that they have consensus on? It's not about asking questions that are open, which I think they're free to do so at any point, but it's more once recommendations are finalized, at what point and by whom should those be put out for public comment? And I just checked as well with our legal counsel, and there is a requirement in the bylaws that changes to the operating procedure should be put out for a 21-day public comment period before entering into force. So at some point, whether it's by the SCI or if it's the council, there should be at a minimum this 21-day public comment period on the proposed changes. So just to take that into account when you discuss this further.
The only question is then, who is going to do that? Is it formally done by the council, or is the SCI in a position to put it forward to public council itself, public comment itself?
I think normally we've done it through the council, and I think that's the type of thing we could put on the consent agenda, because I don't know if that'll take much discussion to put something out for comment. So I think maybe we can add that to our consent agenda.
And if I can just respond, because I think what has happened in the past, and it is the council that puts it out, but if comments come in, it's often the council and actually giving it back to the specific group to look at the comments and see whether changes are needed. So that might be something similar to consider. Right.
So I think I see Alan was a little disturbed on that. So let me go quickly to Alan on this, but I do want to wrap up the whole discussion. So yeah, Alan, and then Bill, and then Yoav.
I just wanted to say something related to what Marika said. Since council's practice these days is to send it back to the group anyway, I think it's a lot cleaner for the group to put it out when it thinks it's finished, review any comments, and then pass it to council for acceptance or not. Council shouldn't put it out again at that point. But since it's going to be referred back to council if there are any comments, back to the working group if there's any comments at all, there's no reason for the working group or this group in this case not to send it out themselves, in my mind. It just adds another council meeting and another month delay if we have to do it.
Okay, thanks, Alan. Let me go to Bill and Yoav, and I think this is a topic. Let's get your recommendation after tomorrow's meeting on that.
Thanks. This is Bill Drake. I would certainly agree with Wendy's suggestion that deferrals should be formalized more, that the conditions for being able to accept them should be laid out. I think in the contentious case that Zahid mentioned, the fundamental concern in that case had to do with the public comment period, and I think that that's a legitimate reason, and I think that that could be listed as one that's okay. I don't think it's so great to do it on the basis of people haven't had time yet at this point. That seems like an easy, unless there's been a substantive change to the motion or something, saying that people haven't had time to review it is just kind of problematic to me, and we always kick the can down the road because of that. On the proxy thing, I think I would definitely go for making it easier to get proxies done. We take a step out of it and just have a notification to the email list by the chair that as long as it's before the meeting starts, that should be sufficient. If you have added steps of having to have things cleared through additional email cycles with different people, you have the possibility that something gets lost in the frenzy right before a meeting, and then the notice doesn't go in. So I think trying to make that easier would be much better.
Thanks, Bill. And Zahid, I got to cut it off after Yoav because we have to get to the consumer metrics.
Yeah, I'll be short. I actually support the same view of Wendy and Bill. I think we should have a formal procedure. And as we've seen in the past, this deferral custom was kind of used or exploited, I would say, to take things off the table. And we don't want that. When it's for some parties to learn an issue more thoroughly, to be prepared for the next meeting, it's okay. But when it's exploited to take things out of the table and not have a vote on it on time, that's a very different thing. So we should have a formal procedure to vote on deferral, and I think it will resolve these issues in the future. Thanks.
Thanks, Yoav. Thank you, everyone, for this. And while the next session sets up, we'll stop the recording on this topic, and then Steve will set up. Right? Steve, you're making the presentation for the consumer metrics. Okay, so while Steve's setting up, we can stop this one, and then we can let us know when the recording started for the next session.